You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet. And Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Get a chance to do all the things you want to do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope, boy, I don't know, east of the Mississippi, throughout this country, east of the Mississippi. In fact, no, I seen another map. It's even west of the Mississippi. It's hot. It's hot. You know, and these folks talking about there ain't no climate change. Ain't no global warming. It is hot, family. So if you're fortunate and your air works, your essential air works, your home is comfortable, and that's probably the best place for you to be if it is where you need to be or should be, must be. But if you got to get out there and deal with it, I understand. Because as warriors, we do what we have to do. This is African Perspectives, where you hear every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then you will see programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Fridays, from 8 until, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. Once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. I got a lot on my mind. So that's, in fact, that's the title of this program. All the stuff that's on my mind. Once again, family, I will not be here Friday and nor Monday on Labor Day. So if you tune in, you'll more than likely hear something that Elliot has put on, Brother Elliot. So, because ordinarily Brother Kwaku would put on a previous program. But he won't be here either, so that's how we're going to roll. That's how we're going to roll, family. Okay? All right, but let's, while we have the opportunity and have the chance, let's have conversation today. Yeah, let's have conversation today. We're going to begin with the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. In fact, I decided to read, since I won't be here, some of the dates ahead. You know, this is Black August, and we're going to talk about that because I hope that you had an opportunity during this month to do something, to learn something, to be with some people and brothers and sisters who celebrated or commemorated or anything that raised your awareness, raised your consciousness during this 2024 August, Black August. So, August 27th. Genocide is a process. It may take decades, centuries even, to come to its awful fruition. as we pursue our day-to-day lives and even think that we are getting ahead. We are blinded by the horror of the reality that our generations are being systematically destroyed. We are marching willingly to the gas chamber. Eugenia Collier. When you want to establish and maintain the image of being a humanitarian and a savior of a population more massive than yours, which you fully intend to decimate, strategically amalgamating some in its process, you have to plan and work at it for centuries on end because of their numbers. And even while you perfect the art of slaughter with them and against them, they still continue to regenerate. Of course, this demands that you stop their regeneration through finding more efficient ways to kill them at younger and younger ages, even in the fetus, the egg, and the sperm, when possible. As you continue to outright murder them, you must murder them in all areas of life, particularly focusing your attention and initiatives on their mental functions so that you can progressively turn over much of the work to them. And see, because you mess their minds up so bad, you just turn the work over to them, and so they'll continue to kill themselves. You can progressively turn over much of the work to them in order to appear changed and innocent of your crimes against the universe. Only in this way, when dealing with a population more massive than yours, can a psychopathically racist people succeed in committing genocide. Only through induced treason can they soothe the conscience they never had and no longer need. Affirm, I am breaking the genocidal process. Ashe. Affirm, I am breaking the genocidal process. August 28th. Those who are dead are never gone. They are there in the thickening of the shadow. The dead are not under the earth. They're in the tree that rustles. They're in the wood that groans. They're in the water that runs. They're in the hut. They're in the crowd. The dead are not dead. By Rigo Jop. Ma'at requires maintenance. It is a spiritual expression of all that is good. It requires exemplary leadership in the form of righteous defenders who will often in any way dare contradict, dismiss, or overthrow it. Always, if out of alignment due to the machinists of the spawn of lesser gods, divine order must be proven and returned through those who seek truth, human peace. Inevitably, it requires the exercise of violence against those who offend it. Comprehend no other language. Correction is the work of warriors, not peacers, because peacers seek order without corrections. There is no order without correction. There is no order without correction. Because offenders cannot live without violence, and offenders are determined to hoard life. No warrior who has ever come has left. Their battle is eternal, even when peace reigns. So spiritually, warriors are everywhere and for all time. They are the defenders of Ma'at and the universal order that brought it into human consciousness. The dead are not dead. Affirm, I feel the presence of my ancestors. Affirm, I feel the presence of my ancestors. August 29th. Oh, maybe want to holler the way they do my life. Maybe want to holler the way they do my life. This ain't living. No, no. This ain't living. No, 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 no. Marvin Gaye makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. Makes you want to holler and throw up both your hands. Yeah. Our children see the hand we have been dealt. They understand the concept of powerlessness as it applies to us and especially them. They do not see the violence against and among them and not understand its source. Has the idea statistically measuring the probability of their incarceration from birth became so academic and their increasing suicide rate so normalized that both and more equally horrific facts against them have grown beyond our skills at cultural comprehension. At their natural yearnings for adults who are psychologically and emotionally mature enough to protect them, truthfully educate them, and provide them with a nurturing, visionary discipline, something that we cannot find within ourselves. They are the primary prey of Urugu. They would not prefer to die young. I know they don't. Our children see how our adults are mistreated, and though they've been socialized into a backward arrogance, our youth, or the youth that makes the disrespect of others easy, they still notice the irreverence according to our elders. They recognize wanton disrespect. Why would they want to grow old? Why would they see life as precious and wisdom admirable? Why would they not prefer to die young? Affirm, I am making a way for my people to live without pain. Ashe. Affirm, I am making a way for my people to live without pain. August 30th. Consciously creating life, the quintessential element of revolution supreme. Sister Salah. The seeds need the trees that produce them to stand tall against the battering winds of cold fronts. They need the shelter of the canopy of the community of trees to protect them from the storms that rage down from the sunless skies and the sun itself when its most dangerous radiations puncture our spiritual intrament. Their greatest and most natural nourishment comes from the leaves which have returned to the earth to decompose into richness of blackness. This is some fantastic analogy. Uncomprehensible because our root system has been shredded and many seeding trees weakened by generations of seeds planted in a land made unfertile. Made infertile. Strength is not a complicated end to achieve when the vision is righteous and held within the branches which have risen. Phoenix-like, you know what the phoenix is. Rose from the ashes. The birds that rose from the ashes. Phoenix-like, above the destruction. All that needs to be done by warriors is to find adult minds, like-minded adults. Build sacred spaces, protect the children with our lives, and help them grow. I am a protector. Affirm, I am a protector. August 31st. Have you ever looked in the face of age? Have you ever looked in a face of age or lent your ears to what an old man had to say? Let me say that again. Have you ever looked in a face of age or lent your ears to what an old man had to say? Ronnie Laws. These are lessons in the stories of our family. My mother often spoke of simple acts performed by her parents or her. One was particularly striking to me because of its simplicity and conveyance of the idea that intergenerational reciprocity. She told of being a little girl yet to be able to tell time, but always managed to be sitting. She didn't know about time, but she knew to be sitting on the porch steps when her father, my grandfather, came home from work. As he approached, she would ask for and receive one peanut from him, which he quickly shelled and ate before walking him in the house. In time, he just automatically handed her one when he arrived. She also spoke of how when her children were grown and she had returned home, how she would visit him, and he somehow sensing when she and my father would drive up, would be sitting on the porch. As they approached, he would hint to her that he sure would like some of that soft ice cream, and she would readily serve it. She would readily serve it to him in a big bowl. This, in and of itself, was conversation. Family is in familiarity, knowing and doing. We have to relearn how to listen to the hearts of words, not just hear them. We have to return to this tradition if we are to be African. We have to turn to this tradition if we are to be African. Affirm, attentively listen to my elders. Attentively, it's a tough one. Attentively listen to my elders. Bottom line is, I listen to my elders seriously. I say the Inyasasim family of daily revolutionary thought. Words. Some of those pieces are just outstanding, I tell you. What should I do first? I'm definitely going to talk about how these crackers want to kick Kamala Harris off the ballot using the Dred Scott decision. But they ain't no joke. They're doing it. They're not going to do that. I mean, they'll be kicked out, but hey, they'll try, and just shows they'll try anything. And to me, family, this is where I am today with this madness, this foolishness. All of this is some, I'm going to cuss because this is some bullshit. What Donald Trump has done and doing, the fact that he can run for president as a goddamn criminal, indicted 91 times, he's being re-indicted. The woman he appointed judge for the case in Florida, she threw that out. And the prosecutor, Jack Smith, is retooled it. Did some summations of it, and then brought it back to the court, and now he is once again indicted in Florida for what he did. And it's not going to go through any court except the Supreme Court. And so when the Supreme Court gets this, anxious to see what happens. Is he above the law? Well, of course, you know that the Supreme Court said there are things that the president, if he does something in his or her official capacity, could be, above the law. Could be excused, could be exonerated. So, has the president in his official capacity, just like he said before the 2016 election, I can shoot somebody in Times Square, New York, in broad damn daylight, and I wouldn't lose any votes. So what he's saying again, I can shoot somebody because I felt they were a threat to the democracy of this country. And as your president, I killed them. And therefore, I will be exonerated. I will be excused. I will be pardoned from that offense. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a hell of a day. I'm glad that you're with me. Hope you can lend something to the conversation. All you got to do is dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Man, good stuff I want to play for you. I like to listen to the Muslim brother, Shahid Balson. He's not African, but he's on point. He really is. The man is on point. And so I've played him a few times.
you know. Also, too, my good friend and dear sister was in town, and talking with her, she, sister, Asmira H., beautiful sister. She made it to Brazil, and there's a conference in Brazil, an African conference in Brazil. Of course, you know there's more Africans in the country of Brazil, with the exception of Nigeria. There's more Africans in Brazil with the exception of Nigeria. So that's serious. And she is going to be where most of the Africans are, and that is in Salvador, Bahia. And so in Salvador, Bahia, there's a big conference, of course. Many people in Salvador, Bahia, the Africans live the way the Africans lived on the continent. They brought their traditions with them. They brought their language with them. They brought their spirituality with them. That means that the Portuguese didn't break them, you know. And so she has contact with Sister Arkina Chichambori Chow, Dr. Arkina. And so, you know, I haven't worked that, but I'm going to really work it this time to see if she can get Sister Arkina to come on this program. We'll see. I'll try. Definitely would love to. Yeah. Also, too, I'm going to play a little piece that's kind of sad about what's happening in Burkina Faso. Yeah. I know Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger, have those three particularly have done some real strong positive things. And I'm hoping and praying that other countries join suit. But here's the problem, and it happened in Burkina Faso. This Islamic, when it is African Islamic groups, you know, took a good portion of the land in a coup attempt. And so we'll talk about that and some other things and anything you might want to talk about or comment on. Yeah, so I thought, I don't know if you ever listened to Rock Newman. Rock Newman came, at least as far as I'm concerned, noted in nationally being the manager of Reddick Bowe, the boxer, being the manager of Reddick Bowe. But Rock Newman had been doing the great things on the East Coast, particularly in the D.C. area, you know. And so he's definitely good brother, man, Rock Newman. So I'm going to try to find that piece. Oh, shucks, family. I tell you. Also, too, I'm going to play a piece dealing with what the Republicans are trying to do by preventing Kamala Harris from running for office, because they said that the the Dred Scott decision prevents her, the Supreme Court. Well, if that's the case, they can, you know, they listen, you just seen what happened. What happened? The Supreme Court voted down Roe versus Wade. They can do the same thing with Dred Scott and any other decision. Any other decision. In fact, what the Supreme Court could do is claim that we, American Africans, have become such a liability for those who are not, they're going to be incarcerated. They're going to be imprisoned. And they're going to be these work camps, basically like being re-enslaved. So you go to these work camps, and these work camps have, you know, their agriculture. So, yes, I know that's going to knock the private farmer out the box, but it's going to provide, you know, what if these work camps, they also have canning factories. They also have a number of things that they can produce, and then trains run through there, and bam, the American farmers been knocked out. But food is being produced. Vegetables and so forth can still get to these supermarkets. But it's done through prison labor. It's done because, you know, 40% of the people in prison are us, where we only represent about 15-20% of the population. So double the percentage of us are in prison, probably even more. Man, oh man, a family. I tell you, it makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. Yeah, it makes you want to holler. Let's listen. Here's my brother Umar, Dr. Umar Ifatunde, not Johnson no more. Is Muslim Ifatunde, you know. Because, you know, I'm sensitive to that because, I mean, when somebody would call me Eddie Brown, if they didn't know I changed my name, I would just politely say, oh, yeah, I changed my name sometimes. But if somebody knew I changed my name and just refused to call me Oshie, I ain't going to say shit to them. That's disrespectful, you know. So I give Brother Ifatunde the same respect. And believe me, even though I have issue at times with him and how he does things, but he's on point on a lot of things, and y'all know it.
Has been around for 50 years. Not a single hospital, not a single school, not a single bank, not a single supermarket, not a single distribution company. How can we call hip-hop a blessing to the black community when that type of money being made off of our culture in the community doesn't benefit from it at all? So you come to the community and give out a few turkeys. You come to the community and give out a few pair of sneakers. You come to the community and you throw a couple parties. And in exchange for some damn turkeys and chickens and some sneakers, you push death and destruction on out of children for a living. And we're supposed to be okay with that because you dropped off some clothes and some turkeys. It's not acceptable. Until hip-hop begins to be a blessing for the black community, hip-hop is an agent of white supremacy. And then the rapper will say, well, we didn't invent violence. You're right. You didn't invent violence. There was gangbanging before hip-hop. Okay, there was drug dealing before hip-hop. There was black-on-black crime before hip-hop. But let me tell you where hip-hop is guilty. Hip-hop glamorized it. Hip-hop glorified it. Hip-hop put a spotlight on negative aspects of black culture.
Did you know that the Ethiopian...
Yeah. He's right. You know, what was interesting about that is that when it was called rap, and you want to call it hip-hop, rap, whatever, early on, it was conscious. You had KRS-One, ton of them, all of them, you know. And, of course, my favorite, and I play it all the time, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, which I think is the baddest rap song in rap history. And, of course, that can be challenged, but that's me. I'm saying that. I don't give a damn, you know. But what if at that time that mentality maintained and all those brothers said, hey, what we're going to do is educate our young. We're going to create hip-hop educational programs nationwide, you know, and on the weekends. You go to school to your school during the week, but on the weekends you go, before you go play basketball, before you go play football, baseball, whatever the hell you're playing, or this and that and the other, you go to this particular school and we learn. It's just like family. It's just like the Sunday school. Now, somebody rescue me if I'm wrong, but the Sunday school program in various denominations, let's say Baptist, the Sunday school lesson for this Sunday is going to be this. And not only is it going to be the lesson in that church, it's going to be lessons in the Baptist church in that town, in that city, across the, in that state, and all the other states and cities and towns across the country. That's the Baptist Sunday school lesson. And they're going to get that. So what if we had that kind of concept? It's going to be this. And across the country, where young minds and young people are learning that. And the next lesson, the week after, and so forth and so on. That's what Brother Umar is talking about. It was co-opted. Rap, hip-hop was co-opted. No longer was it conscious. It became gangster. It became thuggish. It became vile. Sickening. Misogynistic. It was terrible. No, hip-hop, he is most correct. Most correct. Denigrating, demeaning, and degrading to women and to our elders and to our people. Thugs. Oh, I forgot to tell my grandson, his guy, little baby got busted with a gun and he's put in jail. Little baby. I saw it on the news last night. I was like, man, shit is crazy. You know, I remember, and I've said this many times, I was at EDI in New Orleans and I went into the store you can buy all the Dillard University, you know, paraphernalia. They had NPR on, I believe it was. But they were talking about rap, and Sister Soulja was on that program. And she said how it was very difficult for her to get a record deal. How very difficult, because she's coming. But how these record companies turned over to gangster rap. It was a plan. And they constantly putting into the ears of young people to be a thug, to be a gangster, to be a drug dealer, to be a drug pusher, to be a whatever. And the thinking was, all of these prisons that were being built will be all those people who are listening to this consistently every day, every hour. They'll do those things and they will be imprisoned. And then we'll put judges in when they come before them, that they will give them longer sentences. So they will be in for something that they should be out in a few months. They'll be in for longer, maybe a year or two. Oh, it was a plan. It was a plan, family. See, the thing is, we can plan, but we have to have a good number of our people and resources behind the things we plan. I'm saying, what if we did that having school? Well, we got to have money, and we got to have organization and coordination and supervision, all those things that they have the plan for. When the Caucasians put out an evil plan to do what they have done to us, that's what happens. That's what happens. Yeah. Ifatunde. My brother. Ifatunde. Shit. Man, that's terrible. I just turned on something and saw the face of Azita Wass, a brother who I like to beat the shit out of, a man who I like to beat the shit out of, considering what he has done in Kemet. No, it is Egyptians. It is not black. You know, it is African, but it's not black. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. I would really like to play that. So I'm looking, family. I'm searching. I'm searching, family. I'm searching. And if I can't find it, that's just how it is. Yeah, dang. It's a good piece. It's a good piece. We got 15 minutes before the break, so let's just go ahead and run this particular piece. Okay? Yeah. One of the people on, I guess it was on YouTube, came up and said, yeah, have you heard about what the Republicans are trying to do? They're going to go to court. Yeah. They're saying that Kamala Harris can't run for public office because she was born into slavery. Huh? That's right. The Dred Scott decision. And of course, if you're not familiar with Dred Scott, I think what the Supreme Court handed out at the Dred Scott decision is something that I have said all along, that these Caucasians firmly believe that what the Dred Scott decision did, that's as with them to this very day, that a black man has no rights, that a white man is bound to respect. I give less than a rat's ass about anything that black people do. That's the mentality. So we're gonna play this particular piece, and believe me, family, we're gonna have some good discussion. I mean, I'm a little upset when I heard it. I knew that it wasn't gonna happen because I know the 13th. More importantly, the 13th Amendment, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. So, and the Dred Scott decision was wrong when it was rendered, but of course that was the mentality of the country and the mentality of the Supreme Court, and I'm quite sure that Chief Justice Taney and many of the Chief Justices, the nine, I'm not sure if there were nine at that time. I'd had seven. I don't know. And I don't care. But the bottom line is they said, you have no rights that white people are bound to respect. And then coming out of that, the constant over the many hundreds of years, particularly since Europeans came up with the idea of race. In fact, trying to prove that Caucasians are more intelligent and more, and that we are less or closer to the animals. I'm saying this is why I constantly say, family, we got to get the hell out of here. These people will never change. And we keep believing that somehow our captivity, our enslavement, our being demeaned and degraded and put into a position of second degree or 17th degree or second class citizens or third class citizens, that is redemptive. And the people who have done it will feel the remorse of it and will treat us with some dignity and some respect. You fool. Don't even go to them for nothing. We have all we need. The only thing we don't have is our right mind. And they have messed up our minds. Man. Here you go, family.
Like that. But in terms of the law, because I've
GOP group says Harris cannot be president due to slavery. What are they up to? This Republican group suggests Kamala can't be president because of a 170-year-old Supreme Court decision likens her to a slave. Horrible reminder of the impact of the Dred Scott decisions. But Scott versus Sanford declared that slaves weren't U.S. citizens and thus not protected by the federal government. National Federation of Republican Assemblies, NFRA, has cited the infamous 1857 Dred Scott Supreme Court decision, which stated that enslaved people weren't citizens, to argue that Vice President Kamala Harris is ineligible to run for president according to the Constitution, independent with this reporting. Republican Group's platform and policy document noted that the constitutional qualifications of presidential eligibility states that no person except a natural-born citizen shall be eligible, or a citizen of the United States at the time of adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. And the document didn't stop at Kamala Harris. The NFRA's platform document argued that several states, candidates, major political parties have ignored this fundamental presidential qualification, including candidates Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Kamala Harris, whose parents were not American citizens at the time of their birth. Now, this sounds crazy to a lot of people out there. It does. Well, here's the document as proof citing Dred Scott versus Sanford. And it's redlined for you there, pointing out certain things, precedent-setting U.S. Supreme Court cases below. And there you have the reference, including calling out Kamala Harris. Now, the Constitution states that only natural-born citizens can be president. Harris was born and raised in Oakland, California. Under their own reasoning, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, other founding fathers wouldn't be eligible since they were born of parents from British colonies. Candace McDuffie, our friend with the root there, pointing it out.
With millions watching and many people benefiting from this program called Indisputable, we just need 1% of the viewers to become a paid member so we can continue to bring this content to you. Now back to the show.
They have no limits, Dina, okay? On the one hand, they're telling us that slavery was a good thing. Slavery developed black people, uncivilized, enslaved people, and allowed them to learn a trade. It made life better. It wasn't so bad. There's books here in Georgia that reference for school children that singing and fellowship made the long, hot work days seem short. Propaganda. What do you make of this tired, nasty, other type of filing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely racism. In case anybody forgot, she's biracial. This is basically their way of saying that, just like Jesse Waters' reminder that she's a woman, in case people forget that. But in terms of the law, because I've actually been asked this question, people are worried, like, is this actually something we should worry about? There are things to worry about in this election that the Republicans are bringing, especially out in Georgia with the election board. This is not one of them. The Dred Scott decision was overturned long ago. Natural born citizen means are if you are born in this country. But the reason why this is coming up is there is an effort in the Republican Party to change that and to say if you are a child of an immigrant, then you are not a natural born citizen, and not just for the right to be able to become president, but for other rights in our country. It's their way of what they think is trying to keep the country more white. And the fact is that it would require basically the Supreme Court to change the interpretation of it. So this is where elections matter, because the next president could nominate one or more Supreme Court justices. And we have some really extreme justices on that court, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch. Who knows what they would do? I mean, we wouldn't have thought that they would overturn Roe, a very settled law regarding abortion. So today, for this election, that issue is only on the table in terms of the Supreme Court. But this issue is not going to go away. There is an effort in the Republican Party to change how we give rights to citizenship, to make it more difficult for people who are immigrants' children, essentially.
Well, on the one hand, I appreciate your legal analysis here, because it sounds like We can put this just on the back burner a little bit as we barrel towards November. On the other hand, if the NFRA decides to take Clarence Thomas out on a yacht, okay, who knows? And there are others who join him. They could actually try to moonwalk back rights and citizenship, and it is baddie. It's baddie. This is keep destroying the country that's already not perfect. This is what these people seem hell bent on doing. What are we going to be left with? Rhetorically, I ask.
Well, what you're going to be left with is a country at war with itself. You know? My bad. Left that on and got no neck. Roland Martin. Yeah. Well, you know, Roland Martin does what he does and trying to articulate how important it is to adhere to the laws of this country and do what's right and so forth and so on while they continue to do wrong. That's the facts. That's the facts, Jack. Okay, and we're going to take a break here in a minute. And then we come back from the break. The phone lines will be open. Love to hear your comments. Love to hear your African perspective on the issues of our day. You know? Yeah. All right, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com. And BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm thinking about love, my blackness. stand. Stay true to the sea. Keep away from the greed. Be about living my life just as I am. Deep in my blackness. When I woke this morning, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. I tell you, a lot of stuff happening. And how we prioritize the things we need to talk about and things we need to deal with. It's going to determine how successful we'll be. You know, I like this Muslim brother, Saeed Balson, and his rationality and his comments. So, I want to play this particular piece. I haven't heard it myself, but the title was interesting. It's all over, but the shouting for the American Empire. And that's a fact. You know, that's the thing about this country. It was never great. You know, and Donald Trump said, make America great again. No, it was never great. Never. You had all kinds of ideas and songs and imagery, you know, iconography about America and how these glowing things founded on enslavement and genocide and mass murder, inequality. No. You can't be great. You would never be great with a record like that. I give less than a rat's ass about what happens to America. It deserves to fall. But we need to go home. That's the bottom line for us, family.
Believe in a future where every person has the opportunity not just to get by, but to get ahead. Building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency.
Does your internet bill keep getting higher? That's because promo pricing is full of surprises. At Google Fiber,
well, we can talk about this article that came out in Politico a few days back where Mohammed bin Salman is apparently telling the U.S. That his life is in danger due to the fact that he is willing to engage in negotiations on so-called normalizing relations with Israel. And almost everything in that article just repeats what I've been saying for almost a year. I have no doubt that his life is in danger, and I have no doubt that the ones he's telling about the threats to his life are exactly the people who would like to see him eliminated. He's targeted because he has unequivocally tied so-called normalization with the establishment of a Palestinian state. And he's targeted because he has developed connections, relationships, and enough regional power and independence to be able to make that demand. So as I've said before, because of the position that MBS has taken, anytime the Americans talk about normalization, he has insisted that this forces them to talk about Palestinian statehood. In other words, in practical terms, these two terms are interchangeable, normalization and Palestinian statehood. When you hear about or you read about talks on so-called normalization, you can just read that as talks on the establishment of a Palestinian state. And that's because of MBS. And that's why his life is in danger. And I have no doubt that the Americans have been in back-channel talks, you know, that they have secretly reached out to other members of the Saudi royal family, telling them that if they will agree to normalize with Israel without conditions, then they will help get rid of bin Salman and install them on the throne. So I would expect to see bin Salman conducting another purge of Saudi princes, anyone whom he suspects of trying to cut deals with Washington, any potential rival to power, because that's the only shot that the Americans have left. Get rid of bin Salman and install a puppet, replace him with a puppet. Because otherwise, just getting rid of bin Salman will not necessarily achieve their objective. I mean, assassinating him would obviously be incredibly disruptive to the whole GCC and BRICS project, no matter who they put as ruler after him. But it wouldn't necessarily lead to normalization with Israel. It's the U.S., the Americans, the West, who have mobilized a massive, relentless propaganda campaign against Mohammed bin Salman precisely to incite his own people and the Arabs generally and Muslims worldwide to see him as a traitor, to see him as a Zionist, by repeatedly claiming that he's so desperate to normalize with Israel and doesn't care about Palestine, when the very obvious and easily documented reality is that he has used the Americans' urgent desire for Saudi normalization with Israel as a bargaining chip with which to secure a Palestinian state and an end to the conflict. Literally, Palestine has never been closer to a resolution than it is right now because of this strategy, even if it doesn't look like it now. This is the situation. Now, as I've said, there's a lot of factors that are contributing to this. I've talked about it many, many times, you know. The U.S. relationship with Israel is simply not viable anymore. Zionism is not viable anymore. There's a huge faction of the owners and controllers of global financialized capital who want this to be over. The shift of the global economy to the south and to the east, the demographic problem of the west, the globalized interests of the private sector, the rise of BRICS, the decline of America's relative power in the world, not to mention the improved relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran. These are all factors that are at play here. You know, America's desire for normalization between the Arab world and Israel signals that they themselves want to withdraw from the Middle East. Because the whole pretext for their sponsorship of Israel has always been that Israel is unsafe. So normalized relations with the Arab world would destroy that pretext. So bin Salman, I believe, has made a very careful evaluation of all of these factors and has realized that he's in a very powerful negotiating position. And his relations with Russia and his relations with China have helped boost that position with regards to the Americans. It's boosted it tremendously. But yes, bin Salman and I believe the OCGFC understand that normalization without an actual resolution to the conflict, without Palestinian statehood, would be unsustainable. And it wouldn't achieve anything like the stability that's required for their regional plans to succeed. Look, the rightful role of the Middle East, of Bilad al-Sham, of the Levant, whatever you want to call it, the rightful role for that region is to be the center of the world, economically, culturally, politically, and in every other kind of way. And that role needs to be revived and it needs to be stabilized in order for the economic transition to the Global South to proceed in an orderly, organized, manageable way and in order for it to succeed. It is geostrategically the most important real estate in the world. With access to Europe, Asia, and Africa, and with immense resources of their own and wealth. Not to mention this region has a longer history and a longer experience with being the hub of empires than anywhere else on Earth. It just makes sense for the Middle East to be the administrative headquarters, if you will, for the management of the global economy, global trade, business, and on. That's what it has been throughout history. And even though the Arabs are not the majority of the Muslims, the region itself is the heart of the Muslim Ummah, and the Muslims are the largest and most cohesive demographic group on Earth. They're the most diverse, the most multicultural, the most multilingual, but simultaneously the most fraternal population on Earth. Again, it just makes sense that the Muslims are in the best position to coordinate and organize and mediate between every other demographic group in the world.
The problem that I have with that, and I understand it, it keeps Africans in a subservient position. You know, it keeps us in a very tenuous position. It doesn't give us the freedom and the liberation. In fact, the fear of African unity, African liberation, African sovereignty is that Muslim countries, Western countries will be in decline. They'll be in decline. Because we have all the resources. We can do everything independent of anyone. We don't have to beg nobody for nothing. I keep saying all the time, we have all that we need right there on the continent. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. And I'm talking about the Africans that are on the continent and the Africans that are in the diaspora. The Africans on the continent who have a disdain for Africans in the diaspora, particularly American Africans. Particularly American Africans. Big problems. And within American Africans, within Americanness, us here, right now, even this election shows the deep divisions that we have. African-American women who are supporting Kamala Harris strong. And because of how Donald Trump has played himself. But he has played himself to us. And many of us as men. Oh, me, a gangster. He just like us. I'm supporting. That's you so damn stupid. But that's what's happening. There are some, and I can't speak to any kind of percentage. Because just hearing conversations, haven't determined or saw anything where they looked at the percentage of American African men, who are not supporting her, who are supporting Trump. And if that is anything above 15% is ridiculous. Ridiculous. If there's more than 15% of us as American African men not supporting that woman, not supporting Kamala Harris, and are supporting Donald Trump, that is ridiculous. Our minds are so damn whack. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. But that's what's happening, family. There's so much happening. That's for some of us, we can't wrap our minds around all the things that are coming at us in the ways that they're coming at us. All we got to do, family, take a step back, look at it, analyze it from our vantage point, from our perspective. Prioritize what's most important to deal with, what's most important to come at, and correct and solve, and move on to the next and the next. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives. Brother Irv, good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Baba Oji. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
I caught some of the show. I had an appointment, and I caught some of the show. And
oh, good.
Yeah, just a little bit of it, but I just wanted to call in and just let you know that I'm out here listening. And you know, I can always think of something to talk about because I follow Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Baba Oji, I don't mean to change the subject
no,
at
no,
all.
No, no, it's part of the subject. I mentioned it earlier, what has happened in Burkina Faso, you know.
Yeah. They
with attempted coup.
They tried to overthrow him four times, mm-hmm. Ibrahim Traore. They tried to overthrow him four times. And now the United States is talking with Niger mm-hmm. About they want to stay there. If they're so poor, why do you want to stay in our country? If we're so mm-hmm. so backwards of a people, why are you just dying to take care of us? Well, they're not. They want to have their bases there so that they – and they said that they're not – from what I understand from a couple of these videos I was watching that are brand new, that they're not there to protect them from terrorists, supposedly ISIS and all this type of stuff. They're there to control their government, and they're not being obedient guests in the country also. Mm-hmm. The United States is not sharing information. United States is also not paying rent for the base that they're on. Mm-hmm. That's another. And this sounds like the United States. Once they get their undercover people in your place, they can sure. destabilize your government, destabilize your food. And let's be clear, Baba Oji, they have a United States and Europe have a history of
yes.
having meetings and
yes.
chopping up Africa. This is the part that. I was talking yesterday with a friend of mine. Why are you so surprised at the way Urugu acts towards us? I can't believe they did that. Why can't you believe that? Because you don't know your history. Mm-hmm. These are people who were bred and taught and to be evil, to be mean, and we're still trying to be like them. I'm reading Amos Wilson, and Amos Wilson's theme throughout most of his writings is, why are we trying to be like these people who've already demonstrated that they believe in militarism, violence, and mm-hmm. cheating, and lying, and stealing, and taking, but we want to be them. We want to integrate into their lives, into their country, and we want to be like them. But they are a hollow people. Mm-hmm. Urugu is a people who have no moral compass. They're morally eroded, and I say that because when it comes down to people like a Joe Biden or a Kennedy or a Nixon or Reagan, they have no emotions for Africa.
No, but not
Africa
at all.
To them, it's none. And you notice I'm not saying Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a peon compared to the people that came before him,
mm-hmm.
the Obamas and the Bidens, and who went into Africa and raped them and continue to do it with their neo-colonialist practices, because that's what this is. They're still destabilizing governments, Baba Oshi. They've still got their grips
of
in
course.
Those people, and here we can't even. Whenever American Africans sing and dance and laugh for each other, it's one thing. But when you're on the stage and dancing and singing for an audience full of white people, Lil Wayne, do you really believe these people give a damn about you? Do you really?
Yeah, man.
I'm just saying, I think our minds are trained and socialized to believe that if I get enough money, Baba Oji, everything gonna be fine. If I just get enough money, and then you get a blood disease, or you have a cancer hit you, and then now no money in the world can get you right. No money in the world can bring back the health that you had. So, mm-hmm. Baba Oji, I think we need to uninstall this operating system that we're on, and which I've tried to do, and it takes us. It didn't come in a day. It's not going to leave in a day. Mm-hmm. And you do that by opening your mind and reading what your ancestors have left you. They left us a guide. They left us the instruction books. Dr. Henry Clark, Amos Wilson, and we can name them We can keep naming them.
Exactly.
But they left us instructions. They told us what these, what those things, what that hieroglyphics meant. They showed us how they built the pyramids. They told us who we are, but they also told us who we're not, because we're not Irugu. I don't care if you marry them. I don't care if you have children with them. I don't care if you have businesses with them. You're never going to be them, because their mindset is different than yours. We are a loving people, a giving people. They are a taking people, a people who care about no one, not even themselves. Baba Oshi, I don't try to. When I come on this radio, Baba Oshi, I don't try to be the smartest person in the world. I don't try to speak for anybody but myself.
I hear you.
But what I do, yeah. But what mm-hmm. I do is I tell the truth as it affects me, mm-hmm. and then in turn, I try to have a collective mindset.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, Baba Oshi?
Yes.
You speak about individualism a lot on this show, mm-hmm. and that resonates
our,
with me.
Well, that's our problem, because that is not who we are as a people. That's never been a thing within African to be individualistic. It is always a collective. Ubuntu is just like when the Caucasian told this group of kids, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this big basket of goodies. If you start a race from here down to that tree that's way down there, and the first one down there going to get that basket. Next thing the cracker knew, they all went together. And he said, wait, no, that's not what I said. The first one. And the children said to him, no, Ubuntu, together. That was the Boston Celtics cry in 2000. Yeah. Yeah. When they beat the Lakers with, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and them, Doc
right.
had them call Ubuntu. We pulled together. And you see that picture of Ubuntu when all the children's feet are in that circle. So either your legs are straight out or they're kind of up some. So all of them can equally be in that circle. Ubuntu, we are together. We are
and
together.
And that's a beautiful, that's a beautiful thing, Baba Oshi. And we have to understand the big picture. Whatever Urugu is showing us, look past that. Look to the right, look to the left. Because remember, Urugu is a deceiver. Urugu is a deception. I'm fine. You know, Baba, and I don't push back on things, but I am fine with – I watched an Oreo game the other day. But the whole time I watched it, the Orioles were beating the Dodgers. And they won 3-2. But the whole time I watched it, I'm saying to myself, because this is how I think. I'm trying to think outside the box. Why don't we have any black teams? Where are the black teams at? Oh, we had them. And then they Urugu managed to to destabilize that business for black, for American Africans. Yeah. So at the same time I'm having a good time, I'm also saying, why don't we have black owners? Why don't we start a league? And then you look at someone like Ice Cube, who I don't agree with on a lot of things, but I do agree with his 3-on-3 concept.
Yeah.
He owns that.
Yeah.
He owns that. And that scares the Rugu, because if y'all black people start owning things, it's going to be a problem for us.
Yeah.
Because Rugu doesn't want competition. That's why they have so many nuclear bombs. They don't
That's
want
right.
competition.
They don't want competition, man. They don't.
Say it again.
They don't want competition. No.
No. No, they rig it. You know, and you see it, Rugu.
It's all in their favor.
Rugu tries to head. Say it again.
It's all in their favor.
Yeah. That's correct. It's all in their favor. It's a win-win every day, all day for them. But no, I listen, and I try to keep my emotions in check, Baba Oshi, because once you get emotional, I believe you're ineffective. I think as long as you can keep your emotions in check, keep your and stay focused on what your objective is. I believe that we as a people. Not will overcome. We've already won. We've won by just not being exterminated.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the people in Australia, who they tried to exterminate. The what are they called?
Well, they call them the Aborigines, but they're the indigenous people of that land. On the island of Tasmania, they did exercise genocide. We had to talk about what genocide is, because, like, you know, that's a, you know, the European Jews co-opt English words that have strong connotations to it, like genocide, like Holocaust. That really don't apply to them, but the European Jews have used those words to gain world sympathy. See, and so, an act of genocide that damn near happened here on this land, that the Europeans came, an act of genocide damn near happened on this land. An act of genocide did happen in Tasmania. An act of genocide did happen in what is now the Dominican Republic, and the island of Haiti, when the Aqua Indians, Aqua natives, inhabited that land, that the Europeans came in and wiped them out. So a genocide is the complete removal and extermination of a people and their culture and so forth. So, I mean, and understand something, it can happen again.
And these are the people you want to be, that you want to marry, that you say, all of them ain't bad, just some of them. These are the people that you imitate and tell your children to be like. Are you serious? And you know, what happens, Baba Oshie, is we never see the end of a Rugu's life. When you see an Rugu dies, you never see the end. They usually die terrible, horrible deaths.
Right, right.
Because they live such terrible, horrible lives.
Yes.
You know, and they're over consuming. Nothing's in moderation. Nothing. They want to kill all the people, and they do this. And they actually—it's not something that they just haphazardly do. They actually think this out of how they're going to rape and kill and steal and take and destabilize your government, so that we can come in here and call ourselves helping you. Whenever Rugo says he's going to help you, you better think twice, because he ain't helping. He's helping himself.
Always. That's what he does. He's helping himself. All right, my brother. Okay, brother Herb.
Get in.
You bet. Peace.
We'll talk for sure. I'm listening. Yes, right. Sir.
Brother Ralph, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. Just had to call in because I was listening to your conversation earlier, right? And I said, well, let me call, because maybe I'm missing something. And maybe you can educate me on what I'm missing. You said, like, you were talking about the African-American men voting for Donald Trump.
Yes.
And you said that's very pathetic.
Yes.
How do you feel about the 85% that's voting for Kamala Harris?
I could give less than a rat's ass about that.
No. That's not the question, brother.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to understand the dialogue.
Okay.
And,
well, let me just.
And you, if you really didn't care, you really wouldn't be talking about politics. So, in a way, it appears that you do care. And the thing about it, you cannot see the African American men pulling the lever for the Republican, but, you know, I didn't hear you have that same sentiment for this woman who's married to a European Jew. As a matter of fact, said on TV, I ain't doing nothing
right
for black people.
I hear you.
You heard her predecessor say, if you ain't black, don't vote for me. So I could never pull the lever for it, because I don't consider myself black. So, you know, so the thing about it, I'm trying to understand your dialogue.
Okay.
Because it sounds like the same narrative that's being pushed across all these stations, keeping our people in this damn box, pulling the same lever for the same demons that have had their foot up our asses for like the last 400 years. There's no difference in either party, because they work for the same source. They both gave their allegiance to Israel.
Right.
And this country is nothing more than Western Israel. You got Blinken and you got Yellen running the country now because of this person, and Blinken and Yellen both have dual citizenship with that little country that's running this country. And if you can't see behind that, then, man, I might have to have a bridge I could sell somebody in Tokyo. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, man. I cannot listen to a black talk radio station all across, because it's been hijacked by parasitical language. You would think that this Democratic Party and this woman that nobody voted for, she done lost every election she done ran in, she dropped out of one, but they selected her because they got a plan, and believe me, we are the main course. And if we don't wake up and stop, because, you know, let me tell you something, and I heard Irv talk about emotional, but I was emotional when I saw clips of that Democratic convention, mm-hmm. and seen all the melanated faces across my screen cheering for the party that had their foot up their ass for the last guy. Man, don't get me started. I'm trying to understand, brother. Okay. Maybe I'm missing something.
No, you're on point. You're on point. Because I often say, and will continue to say, that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the, you know, different wing of the same filthy, nasty, funky bird. And it's not that big of a difference in terms of how that party operates, you know? Except that, to me, looking at Donald Trump and all that he has done, how he has been, things he has said, the fact that he has been indicted 91 times for real, the fact that he has said openly things that he has said openly that nobody can really misinterpret, you know, but they'll try to. And he definitely does not deserve. He deserves to be in prison. He shouldn't be running, as you know. But of course, the system, hold on, Ralph. But of course, the system says, we're going to let this happen. We're going to let this happen. We're going to excuse him. We're not going to try him. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to see if the United States public, the voting public, are going to choose him or choose the Democratic. Because there's only one choice. Well, there's two choices. Either it's Democratic or it's Republican.
I'm pulling for Cornel West myself. I'm an independent.
Yeah.
I'm a proud independent. But the thing, and I just wanted to put that out there.
Cornel West didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. But we all know that.
Well, we don't have one either. This is going to be the new Gaza Strip, my brother. Now, let me just share this.
Okay.
So the other people... They heard, and I heard you. Trump is the master villain. That's plastered across everything. He's the master villain. He's the big Klansman, neo-Nazi, racist. Okay, give it all that. But when I see my people crying out for reparations over the last 40 years, and this party giving my hard-earned tax money to people just coming across the border that don't like me or you, but they're just coming across, housing them for 2 years, giving them $5,000, giving billions of my tax money to Ukraine, yet we're still crying about reparations and have programs about reparations. No, I don't give a damn what a racist say about me. I don't care. I don't give a damn what a race. If he goes to jail, he goes to jail. I'm looking at my money that could be going to my damn children, going to my people, and these people have let us know you ain't getting crap. We're giving your money to people, and we're housing them. They just gave a bunch of money to house them in California. They gave a bunch of money. They're crapping all over our people in Chicago, putting them up in luxury hotels, got maids making their beds, but we're still walking around having reparations meetings, and we're doing this. We're big and bad. We got our Pan-African summit going on because we got to get out of here. Yet we're still here. We're still getting our tax money taken from us. they're still crapping all over us. Yet all we can see is that racist neo-Nazi that's been plastered all over the TV set. And we got to vote for our sister. They ain't really a sister. She never said she was one. But, you know, I just get so frustrated when I see the programming, my brother. When I see the programming, it frustrates me. Mm-hmm. It makes me angry. And the programming is real. Yes. I hear all the books about Amos Wilson. I got Amos Wilson. I got it. I got so many books that I got to probably dust them back off and read them again. That's not helping our situation. Right now, we need to tell either one of these parties, look, do right by our damn folks.
Right. I agree.
Get out of our fucking faces.
I agree, Ralph. I agree. But we are not.
But that's not the narrative.
No, because we're divided.
That's the programming, brother.
Yes, that's the.
You just pinpointed the programming.
We're divided.
That's the program,
and we're manipulated.
As long as we can
and
stay
we're
on
undermined.
Board and tell both of these criminal these criminal entities, look, kiss our ass until you do for me and my people.
Mm-hmm.
And put it to them just like that.
Yeah. But
when I hear them say, well, we, you know, Kamala, you know, she's a sister and she's fine and all. Man, I said, boy, we are done. Mm. We're going to be the new guy. If we're not Gaza Strip physically, we are Gaza Strip of the mind.
Mm.
And it's got to end. So, you know, I just had to call in, man.
I hear you, brother Ralph.
I
appreciate
it. And it makes me sick sometimes because we got to tell both of these parties and stand up like men. F your party until you do something for my people.
But see, the thing is this. Had we been collective and we said, listen, we have a platform. We present it to the and we can't deal with independence because in this kind of situation here in this country, now, you may use an independent to get your platform out there. You may use what's his name? Oh, man.
RFK.
Yeah. RFK or the Cornel West or whoever. What's her name with the Libertarian Party?
It's another.
Right, to get your message out there. But that's all you're going to do is just to get your message out there. Because the bottom line.
Both parties continue to crap on.
Exactly, because the big dominant money from all the corporations. This is an oligarchy. This is not no damn republic. It's an oligarchy. So the big money of those individuals, those billionaires and so forth, go to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And it's just like the European Jews. They're going to support, and they've been doing this for a long time, because even in a civil war, Rothschild and them gave money to the Union and gave money to the Confederacy.
Oh, yeah.
They don't give a damn. Whoever wins, they win. You know.
But let me tell you something. This is what, regardless of what's going on here, because it's mass confusion. What's going on here? That central bank in Great Britain still runs the show.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's
Ralph.
The one thing I hear Paul talking about.
Yes.
That central bank.
Yes.
In Great Britain still runs the show. Then find out who are all the people who are affiliated with it. You'll pinpoint the problem. It ain't.
Yeah.
But that you know, when I hear our people getting so emotional about Kamala Harris, oh man, that does something to me. That does.
Because you know, and
all
I know,
demons in
right?
My
yeah, I mean, when she's sick, you know, and it's on record. I mean, hell, she said it plainly. It's on film and so forth. I ain't doing nothing for black people. I'm not going to talk about reparations. I ain't talking about nothing.
No, and said it boldly too. Yeah. And yet our people still clapping for and cheering, and you know, and
some of us think, Brother Ralph, that she said that back in 2000, you know, so four or five years have passed, whatever.
No, it was. It was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right,
when
4 years
Biden
ago.
Was running.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so so now here she has the opportunity to be the president for all the people, you know.
if they wanted to do something, they would do it now. They're still in office.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave on that with my brother. I know it's other callers. I just had to, like, just find out what am I missing. Maybe I'm missing something because I heard Brother Malcolm. I heard him when he said their wings are the same stinking bird.
That's right.
And he also called us chumps because we continue to pull the lever for the same demons.
Yep.
That's all I got, man. I'll continue listening.
Bro. Right on, Brother Ralph. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Baba Oshie.
Yeah. What's up, brother?
I'm sorry to cut it, Baba Oshie, but that brother was right on point with what he was saying. And,
you took it
to the next level, which tells why they do it. But Baba Oshie, I watched part of that DNC convention, and I watched part of the Republican convention.
Okay.
And if you looked at the audience, they looked just alike.
Mm-hmm.
They all had on red, white, and blue hats.
Mm-hmm.
They all was jumping around like fanatics at a football game. Yeah. These are extremists. These people were extremists, and they wanted to show the extremities of this party, how extreme you can be, how I can out-patriot you. In other words, I'm more of a patriot than you'll ever be.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, Baba Oshie? You're a patriot to a country that you took from someone else? It doesn't even make sense. And he's absolutely correct in what he's saying. We are in a no-win situation. Mm-hmm. And we go back to the same thing we've been doing, Baba Oshie, the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
But the lesser of two evils is still evil.
It's still evil,
but
brother.
But the mm-hmm. one thing she never says, or any of them ever says, is the word Africa. Nobody ever mentions Africa in any conversation.
No.
They'll mention Israel. They'll mention Ukraine. But they'll never mention Africa because they want you to believe that Africa's poor. Africa can't manage themselves. I could give a damn about the Democrats or the Republicans. I don't care if this lady has dedicated her life to a Jew. But they won't say anything about Africa. And why is that, Baba Oshie? Please make that clear to me.
Well, the reason why Africa is no count in the mind of the European has been for some time. It's just like when they sat at a table with a huge map of Africa in Berlin, Germany, and carved it up. I want this piece. No, you can have that piece. I'll take this piece. You take that piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even when the freedom was given, so-called, in the late 50s and into the 60s, all the way into the 70s until finally, you know, Africa has 54 countries, but they're not sovereign. They're not independent. In fact, France particularly has many of these countries still beholden to France under the thumb of France and Britain and all of them, Germany. The Indians still trying to take Uganda. So the prize has been, and the scramble for Africa is ongoing. It's ongoing. The problem is we as Africans here in America and Africans in the diaspora need to talk to the Africans on the continent to bring us together to kick these son of a bitches out so we can manage our land and manage our resources and be players in the world instead of pawns that we have become. This is the real problem. It ain't no damn politics of this damn country. I could give less than a rat's ass. And I didn't mean to disrespect Brother Ralph because I love Brother Ralph. But I could give less than a rat's ass if all those sisters vote for Kamala Harris. Because they all voted for Biden before. They're Democrats. Right. We became Democrats under Roosevelt. But prior to that, we were Republicans. Because the Democrats were the Dixiecrats. And the shit just flipped.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's the same funky, nasty ass bird with the two different wings. You know, so don't get me started, Brother Irv. Don't get me started.
Brother, somebody turn the water hose on. But no, you're absolutely correct, Bobby. And to be emotional about it just shows how much you believe in what you're saying. But you weren't too emotional not to get it out your mouth, from your brain to your mouth. See, when you get emotional till you can't even communicate, that doesn't help anything. But when you get emotional and you can say what you're thinking and what you know to be true, that brother that was just on the radio was so on point. And I can hear the frustration in his voice because it seems like we keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. Kamala's going to bring the prices down. Kamala's not going to bring the prices
insanity.
Down.
The definition of insanity. Bobby, same thing over and over again.
Same thing.
Different
bread's never going to be a dollar a loaf again. Stop it.
In order for us to, come on. In order for us to live like we're living in this country, Africa has to stay poor.
That's right.
Africa has to stay where they are so we can keep raping them for their natural resources. Africa, and I'm going to say it again, Africa is the breadbasket of the world, mm-hmm. and they want to keep it poor, keep Africa poor. But, brother, they don't know the resilience of my people. They don't understand how Africa was here, was the first, and they're going to be here when you're right. all gone.
That's right.
Because Africa, I'm telling you, Africa, yeah. We came over here, our people, in the belly of a ship, and we're here.
We're still here.
And you got,
we're
and you
still
got
here.
This country giving money. He's right. Mm-hmm. They're giving money to these DACA children who came, who are supposedly illegal according to the laws that these people wrote. But their parents were illegal, and their parents were illegal. And now they're getting my tax dollars. And you're absolutely correct. I'm upset with that. But then again, I'm also upset with my tax dollars going to pay for a woman to kill a baby.
There it is. Well, so, you know, there's a lot of things that your money, that in fact, when you pay your taxes, yeah, I would love to be earmarked. I would like my taxes to be earmarked for African education throughout this country in major cities. You know, I would like for my money to be earmarked for enterprise zones or building of businesses within these major
That's
cities
right.
where we're predominant. I mean, I would love for having
right.
my money earmarked for these particular things that I pay my taxes to, because I definitely do pay them.
Right.
You know, and I'm quite sure you definitely do pay yours. It's the obligation. I have no problem with understanding that there should be taxes, but I believe it should be proportional. It's a goddamn shame that the people who have the most pay the least. The people who have the least pay the most. This is a criminal. That's what I'm saying. You need to take a step back. This is a criminal society. This is a criminal undertaking.
Right.
And it's not just the United States. It is global. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is the universal problem. And, of course, European Jews fall under that as well because they identify with being white. Yeah.
That's right.
So let me catch you.
Right. The more you talk about it, the more you pull the covers back on this bird. Like you said, the bird, two wings of the same bird. And you understand that we don't have a choice to vote in this presidential election.
No.
But even in your local elections, you have people. I love the brother Charles Barron.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a man for the people.
Okay.
But most of these politicians that you vote for, even locally, support Israel.
Right.
They have to support the system.
They have to.
That's why they call it a party.
Especially if you are a national, if you're a congressperson, or if you're a U.S. Mm-hmm. senator, and even some of the state people, particularly in a high position as a state senator, governor, mm-hmm. and so forth, you know, one of the first things out the brother's mouth here in Georgia, Raphael Warnock, was, I support Israel. You know what I mean? He ain't said nothing about us. I support Israel.
You know? I support Israel. Ask Cynthia McKinney about not supporting Virginia.
Oh, you seen what happened to her? And that's what they do. You know, let me take another call because we're running out of time, my brother. All right, Brother Irv.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank
sir.
You, my brother. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi. Brother Ochi, man, I'm emotional, man.
No, you're emotional. No, I'm emotional. I've been emotional all. I've been emotional since yesterday when I found out they were trying to use the Dred Scott decision to prevent Kamala Harris from running for president. Not just that it was her, but the whole idea. Because the bottom line to this whole situation, not just here in America, but globally, because European, this is I got from you, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a global phenomenon.
Baba Ochi, energy, emotion. I'm emotional, man, and I don't want no one to tell me not to be emotional because I'm going to get emotional just like you and just like Brother Ralph, man. I, you know what I mean? I just need that electricity going through my vein because, sometimes when I look around and observe our people, I come to the conclusion most of us are the living dead. We're the walking, talking zombies. We're awake while sleeping. That's an oxymoron, but it's true. We're just like, man, so I don't mind being emotional. I don't mind if you raise your voice. I don't mind if you shout from the rafters top, because most of us are fast asleep in the sheep pen. Brother, I said it before, Doc, Baba Ochi, colonial planet angel. Of course they're going to talk about Dred Scott. They want to put you back in chains. Of course most of you is in prison. Because I said it from the word go, the colonial plan has not changed. It's the same plan. And it ain't never going to change. Never.
No.
And it, why it ain't going to change? Because when they came out of the caves and started walking, they realize that they're the minority. They realize that very quickly. They all realize that you interbreed with them, they come out on the wrong side. They come out, they know that.
See, Paul, this is what Frances Cress Welsing understood. And I never forget hearing her at a presentation she did here in Atlanta, listening to her. She said she was at the kitchen table until finally, bam, it hit her. Because her and Neely Fully were talking about European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, and how it functions. And what she said was, these Caucasians realized when they came out of that ice age medieval age, that so-called dark age, when the only light in Europe that was happening was on the western half of the tip of Europe with the Moors, giving them electricity, giving them water, cleanliness, and so forth, learning how to get the goddamn animals out of the castle and into a corral, you know, until what happened? Martel and all those others got together. Charlemagne says, hey, we made war amongst ourselves, and because we're a very warlike people, but we're going to change that dynamic. We're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And when they began to go out and explore Marco Polo, Magellan, and so forth, they came upon areas of people they knew were not like them. And then they had sexual relationships with them, sometimes rape, more than likely rape. But they seen the offspring didn't look like them. And what she said is it caused an innate fear in them that they could be wiped out through genetic annihilation. And so therefore, they got to be in control. They got to control all of the dynamics. And so that's how she came up with that, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful ancestor. And I can proudly say that I've actually got a chance to speak to her many times on the Carl Nelson show. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I pat myself on the back because I know that woman was a champion.
Right on.
But hear what Baba Ochi, you know, when I hear you talk about Mark Polo and all these people, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I've read certain information, too much to mention. And, you know, you got to understand something. The white man gave us the word believe. And he tell us to believe in everything. Believe in this, believe in that, believe in Jesus, believe in this, believe in that. And in the middle of that word is the word lie.
Yes.
Okay? And the reality of it is that we do believe in everything, but we don't really know that much. We don't know ourselves, a lot of us, a great deal of us. I'm not talking about the people who contribute to this program, but a lot of us don't know ourselves. That's the first thing. We just believe what we've been told. Yeah. So what I'm saying to you, most of that stuff they're told about Marco Polo and all that is just bullcrap. It's lies. You know, the digger we deep, look, you know, Public Enemy, this fear of a black planet.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't realize, this was a black planet, controlled totally. People who we can today identify as black was the majority on the planet.
Yes.
There were no white people.
Yes.
White people is a form of hybridization. What does that mean, hybridization? Hybridization means there's an argument between the scientists that one says climate change was rapid, it went into ice age rapid, and one says for years and years and years. I tend to fall on the page where it said it went rapid. Because what happens is in extreme climate change, it doesn't matter if in Africa or Europe or whatever, the people have to adapt very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So they change very quickly, hybridization. They change very quickly because they have to adapt to the environment.
Yes.
even you in America, you're adapting to your environment. You don't look like the Africans on the continent. Your noses change, your hair gets thinner, your skin gets lighter in the winter. There's no winter like that in Africa, right? Okay? So the reality of it, we even though we're in the West, we're changing. We're adapting to our environment. I don't want to take it away from the subject. I'm gonna close with this, Baba Ochi. Brother Ralph, man, I'll make a demand that Brother Ralph ring this program Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday, and you don't go away and soak anymore. Yeah? No more talking, Brother Ralph. We need you to ring this radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and don't start attacking me like Uncle Ruckus. It's only a joke. Okay? But the reality is this, yeah? Look, we need that energy, man. I need that energy, and I know we need this energy. Sometimes I tape this program, and I wish I had taped that, because I would have got Brother Ralph's speech, and I would have digitally mastered it, and I'd have put some video to it, and I'd have made it go viral, because that is an awoke speech. That is the talk we need, with all the electricity and all the emotions, because young people ain't going to listen to no talk or put them to sleep. No, they're not going to listen. And by the time you finish, they're fast asleep. They ain't listening to that. They need to be woke. When you were in the fire department, I'm sure you had a bell.
Yes.
Which alerted you to the. You didn't have something going beep, 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 because no one would have heard it.
Right.
Yeah. And you would have missed the fire and the people would have got burnt to death.
Yes.
You have bells to make people wake up, and you raise your voices so they hear what you're saying. Okay, yes. You're sounding an alert, an SOS. This is not the time for, the long debates where people fall asleep and they miss everything what you're saying. We have to wake our people up. We're in an emergency, but they don't get it. We are, Marcus Garvey said, when your back's against the wall, you're going to know yourself. But most people don't even know their back's against the wall. They don't know. They don't even know what's coming down the pipeline. They don't know. They have no idea. We had a discussion, Baba Ochi. You said you ain't got the money over there. And I thought, wow, you ain't got the money. We just see in a matter of weeks, I think they said African American. I don't know how they knew that so many women sent her the money. I don't know how they knew that. Mm-hmm. This woman got millions in a few 3 days. She got all these millions, but you don't have the money.
Yeah,
now she's got the money, man.
She raised $500 million throughout this convention time.
No one told me you ain't got the money. You got the money. But the problem is the mindset is all messed up. That's the problem. The mindset is in Eurocentric indoctrination. Totally believe everything and knowing nothing.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Eurocentric indoctrination.
They would never dare send woman that money to the woman, that woman, right? Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris. But trust me, she's going to bury you and have you all locked up and proper locked down. And she's going to go back to her masters and say, you see how good I am? You see how beautiful I am? Look at my hair. Look at my long Indian hair. Look at how I look. She's going to lock you Negroes up so deep. Okay? She disrespected about these Jamaicans. I saw her disrespect her father. And I tell you why, one thing. I don't know what you really think about Jamaicans and what you really know. But what I do know, and ask Brother Marcus if you think I'm making it up. That age group, his age group, right? You have to have respect for your parents, even if you don't get along with them. In public, you show respect. That tells me something about her. You understand? Mm-hmm. She's got a vengeance for man. On these radio stations, she used to lock black men up where she come from. Lock them up, African-American, like regular. She has got a vengeance for man because I thought, run off and left her. Let me tell you what's coming down the pipeline. It's so serious. I hate to say this, Baba Ochi. You're probably all better voting for Trump because better the devil you know. Thank you for giving me the talk.
All right, brother. Peace. Good afternoon.
Hey, yo.
Good afternoon.
I try to be what you request of me and you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Brother Lusk.
Hey, Baba Ochi. I had to jump on and jump back off and jump back on again. But I'm listening and fully aware of what has all been said. I'm sure Miss the brother who talked earlier before Brother Paul, I kind of had to get off. But, man, I'll be listening and continue to learn.
All right, brothers. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a good rest of the weekend and Labor Day, all that kind of stuff. Be safe, be cool, and I'll see you next week, Wednesday. See you next week, Wednesday, brother. Shemhotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadie. Bibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.